ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
But it is not some impossible dream. In fact, one silver lining of the pandemic is that it has shown how quickly we can make radical changes to our lifestyle. Almost instantly, the crisis forced businesses and individuals to abandon practices long claimed to be essential, from frequent air travel to working in an office, and I'll add to going to church. Likewise, populations have overwhelmingly shown a willingness to make sacrifices for the sake of health care and other essential workers in vulnerable populations, such as the elderly. And many companies have stepped up to support their workers, customers, and local communities in a shift toward the kind of stakeholder capitalism to which they had previously paid lip service. Clearly, the will to build a better society does exist. We must use it to secure the great reset that we so badly need. That will require stronger and more effective governments, though this does not imply an ideological push for bigger ones. Well, if you're going to have a stronger and more effective government, it's going to be bigger. What are you talking about? You see, they make you think, oh, yeah, it's not going to be bigger. Of course it is. They're going to control every aspect of your life. The COVID-19 crisis is affecting every facet of people's lives in every corner of the world. But tragedy need not be its only legacy. On the contrary, the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world to create a healthier, more equitable, and more prosperous future. I'm going to share with you what the United Nations has to say about their goals for 2030, some 9 years away from right now. 8 predictions for the world in 2030. Listen to what they have to say, or watch what they have to say. Think about that. The U.S. is not going to be a world power anymore. That's from the United Nations, okay? That's their goal for 2030, to make us not a powerful nation anymore. You'll own nothing. You're going to be happy. Enjoy it. To emit carbon dioxide, they're going to charge you for it. Does that mean we can't breathe? I mean, what is up with these people? Driving a car, are you going to get charged? According to them, yes. So this is world government. I hope you've seen that it's coming. But I want you to see who also is playing a big role in this. And this is religion. World government is coming. But also, this one world religious system is coming as well. And the Antichrist is going to be ushered in by the false prophet, which I believe is the Pope. And if you listen to what this Pope is saying, and I'm not saying he's the false prophet, but when you listen to what he's saying, he's pushing for a one world government, socialism. It's incredible. He's working with the United Nations to bring forth this global government. And he's working with the religions of the world as well to bring about a one world government and a one world religion together. And make no mistake about it, like I said, the Pope is a socialist. And it fits in with the New World Order. And as much as we hear power to the people, good luck saying that in a socialist country. You will never say it. But I'll just share what the Pope says is the blame for the negative impacts of the lockdown from the COVID-19 pandemic. Pope Francis has endorsed globalist communism in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, blaming capitalism for the damage caused by disastrous and unnecessary lockdown policies. Capitalism's to blame. Really? He claimed in a statement that it was the magic theories of marketed capitalism that failed throughout this crisis. He also threw out some general bromides against war as well. It's very difficult nowadays to invoked the rational criteria elaborated in earlier centuries to speak of the possibility of a just war, Francis wrote in his encyclical. He wrote that globalism is the answer to the pandemic, as national sovereignty prevents complete and uniform obedience of the masses during a crisis. Wow, that's an incredible statement when you think about it. The answer to COVID? Globalism. That makes no sense. He said, aside from differing ways that various countries respond to the crisis, their inability to work together became quite evident. Anyone who thinks that the only lesson to be learned was the need to improve what we already are doing or to refine existing systems and regulations is denying reality. Again, he places all the blame on market capitalism. The fragility of the world system is the face of the pandemic has demonstrated that not everything can be resolved by market freedom. It's imperative to have a proactive economy policy directed at promoting an economy that favors productive diversity and business creativity and makes it possible for jobs to be created and not cut. That's what capitalism does. That's not what socialism does. He basically recites Democratic talking points verbatim. It's sad. Big Policies, the story or the article goes on, has reported how Francis is focusing on the evils of capitalism while protecting and rehabilitating child rapists throughout his tenure as pontiff. Pope Francis' war on traditional Catholicism has been ramping up recently, and he castigated Catholics who believe in tradition and refuse to warp biblical scripture to appease a godless world for creating a minefield of misunderstanding and hatred. Rigidity and imbalance fuel one another in a vicious circle, he said, and these days the temptation to rigidity has become so apparent. Tradition is not static, it's dynamic, Francis added. Well, isn't that interesting? So what we believe changes. Here is supposed to be the representative of Christ on this earth who denies everything that Christ has said and done. Isn't that interesting? And people are following him. You know, he's uniting the religions of the world. He's uniting the Protestant church. Isn't that the most craziest thing you've ever heard? I'll give you a few examples. These are Protestants all here. Here's more. Carol Arnett, Kenneth Copeland, Tony Palmer, he's passed away a few years back, part of the Protestant church, embracing who? The Pope and Catholicism? I don't even know what to say. Bottom picture, when the Pope invites you, you go. And Joel Osteen. So these evangelicals agree with the Pope. They praise him. What about salvation? Is there a difference between what the Catholic Church believes and what the Protestant Church believes? I'm not picking on the Catholic Church. I came out of the Roman Catholic Church. But there's a huge difference here. The Roman Catholic Church teaches you're saved by grace, but you must add works to that salvation. And then even with your good works, you can't make it to heaven. You have to go to purgatory to atone for your sins. Book, chapter, and verse in the Bible where it says that. There are absolutely none. Christ paid it all. He sat down at the right hand of the Father because the work was finished. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. That is what we believe. So how do we as Protestants embrace the Pope? Because many of them are embracing this one world religion that is coming down the pike. And if you have leaders leading their congregations and their people to follow the Pope, you see how easy we'll get to this one world religion. It's not going to be difficult. I'll show you a picture from the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity. This is from their website. Notice the different groups that are up there. Anglican, Lutheran World, Methodist Council, Reformed Churches, Baptists, Disciples of Christ, Pentecostals, New Charismatics, Evangelicals, Mennonites, Salvation Army. That's the Catholic website telling us this. And it's not just the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church, or the Protestant Church joining with the Catholic Church. It's the religions of the world that are all coming together for this one world religion. And the only way we or the Protestant Church can embrace this is that you have to move away from Christ. Oh, you can still talk about Jesus, but not the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus who was a good person. He helped people out with dying for your sins, and he's the only way. No, we can't accept that, because that can't be part of this one world system. And this false prophet who comes on the scene will be the one who's going to lead the religions of the world to accept the Antichrist, and I think we're starting to see it come to pass before our eyes. And it's interesting because the United Nations wants to control the religions of the world. Why? So they can tell us what to believe. And if it goes against what they're saying, they're going to say, no, you can't do it. This is from March 6, 2020. Special reporter Ahmad Shihad concluded that laws based in traditional morality, often religious in nature, should be repealed if they conflict with the opinions of human rights scholars and UN experts. Isn't that interesting? So if what we believe goes against what they believe, we have to forget what we believe and accept what they say. I don't think so. But isn't that interesting what they want to do? The report cites the works of scholars who have worked to promote progressive reinterpretations of faith traditions, adding the source of gender-based violence or discrimination is not necessarily religions, but rather certain interpretations of them, which are not protected per se. In other words, when you say that Jesus is the only way, that you have to receive him as Lord of Savior, repent of your sins, that's your interpretation and you're wrong. Well, I don't think so. I absolutely know I'm not wrong. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I'm pretty sure Jesus was right and these other guys are wrong. Why am I listening to the words of men when I should be listening to Jesus? This is a tweet from Shahid. When access to safe abortion is denied, the right to life, the right to health, the right to equal human dignity is denied. Well, isn't that an interesting statement, right? First of all, we let so many scholars reinterpret the scriptures for us and tell us what they really mean. That's wrong. But listen, when access to safe abortion is denied, the right to life, the right to health, the right to equal human dignity is denied. What's wrong with that? They contradict themselves, right? They tell us that when the right to safe abortion is denied, then the right to life, to health, and equal human dignity is denied. But what about that child in the womb? I mean, what about their right to life? What about their right to health? What about their right to human dignity? You see, no one wants to ask those questions. We're like zombies just believing whatever they say without even thinking about it. Let's think about what they're saying. You know, when I was in school, I was taught that giraffes got long necks because there was a drought. And they had to reach up to the top of the trees. And, after time, their necks got longer. They would have died out before their necks got that long. And really, I don't care if a million years, your neck's not going to get that long. Believe me, I've been trying to get taller and it hasn't worked. And again, we could spend a lot of time on this. But I want you to see how this is all coming together just as the Bible tells us. I mean, you look at what the coronavirus has done to the economies throughout the world. Many are crippled. And I think we're moving towards a new monetary system or a new money system. We see climate change, wars, and like I said, COVID. And the call for world leaders and from the Pope, the United Nations, we need global government to solve these problems. And I think, as I look at our nation, and I want to finish up this section by looking at our nation, because there's a revolution going on. And it's happening no longer from the bottom up, but from the top down now. And I don't think we have a whole lot of input right now in what's happening. All you have to do is look at these elections. Oh, go and vote. But your vote doesn't really count because we're going to alter the ballots. Great. That's a socialist Marxist government. You can send me emails and all that. You can get mad at me. That's fine. But here's the thing. The one promoting this agenda is the DNC, Democratic National Committee, the governing body of the United States Democratic Party. And if you doubt that, you haven't been watching and listening. Remember the Democratic debates for president? Did you see a United States flag anywhere up there? Anywhere. When we had the Republican one, there was a lot. I'm not saying the Republicans are great either. There's enough problems there. Why was there no flag of the United States of America? Because they're socialists and they don't promote the United States. We are going to be part of the global world government. And you cannot stand up for your rights. As I said last year, there are only two nations, two leaders in the world that are patriotic that I know of, world leaders, big leaders. Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel, and was Donald Trump in the United States. And look at how they were attacked all the time they're in office. And Benjamin Netanyahu is still being attacked. And please understand, socialism is a stepping stone to Marxism. Lenin said that. He said that socialism is the road to communism, and we're on that road. Listen to what Kamala Harris had to say about how we should be living, the redistribution of money. And just listen carefully to what she has to say. It's kind of interesting because it's not just equalizing the money. It's different.
Equality and equity. Equality suggests, oh, everyone should get the same amount. The problem with that, not everybody's starting out from the same place. So if we're all getting the same amount, but you started out back there and I started out over here, we could get the same amount, but you're still going to be that far back behind me. It's about giving people the resources and the support they need so that everyone can be on equal footing and then compete on equal footing. Equitable treatment means we all end up at the same place.
Let me ask you this. What incentive do you have to open a business, work hard with that? I don't have to do anything because you're going to give it to me. Really good luck with that because the money runs out. Look at Venezuela. Venezuela was a rich country, and now they're eating garbage from garbage cans because they have nothing. How are they accomplishing this? Well, the news media. I mean, I think we could see that. You watch how they speak of, you know, President Trump and how they speak about Joe Biden. Praise Joe Biden, critical of Donald Trump. Liberal journalists in a story were told give Democrats the kind of biased news they want. For example, when Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden picked Senator Kamala Harris as his running mate, the New York Times immediately labeled her as a pragmatic moderate. The Time wasn't alone. The Associated Press and Los Angeles Times described her as a centrist. On television, ABC's George Stephanopoulos said that Kamala Harris comes from the middle-of-the-road moderate wing of the Democratic Party. Bad news reporting. Maybe Harris is a moderate or a centrist as far as liberal journalists are concerned, but that's not how a nonpartisan group that tracks congressional legislation sees it. And an analysis by GovTrack.us concluded that in 2019, Harris was the most liberal of all 100 U.S. senators based on the legislation she signed on to. That means that the group found her even more liberal than Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. The news media didn't want you to hear that, but they're calling her moderate, a centrist. That means the news media is pushing forth the agenda for the socialist Marxist movement that the Democratic National Committee is promoting. They are not reporting the news. They are reporting their propaganda. And if you doubt that, I remember when President Trump ran for the first time to be president of the United States, and I was watching NBC Today Show. It was in the evening. They had all their guys, their political analysts on there, and Donald Trump was winning. And their political analyst got up to the map, and he said, these are the states we need to win. What was he saying? He was saying that these are the states that, what's her name? I think, God, I forgot her name, but Hillary Clinton had to win to become president of the United States. But she said, we need to win. And that was the last time I watched the Today Show. It's propaganda. Also, we have social media, big tech companies. I don't know if anyone's been a victim of Facebook jail, but you say something that they don't like, and you can be put in Facebook jail. You can't post anything for a while. I want to focus on another group, Google. Did you know Americans, just Americans, go to Google 500 million times a day? Wow. And I hate to say it, when I use Google, I get a little nervous. I'm adding to that number. But 4 days prior to the presidential elections, Google sent out to liberal users. They've identified them as liberal users. They tracked them, and they tracked conservative, moderate, and they sent them reminders just to the liberal ones to vote in the election. It's only for the liberal voters. And if they did it for everyone, no big deal. But a liberal tracked this, and he was shocked by this and reported it to the New York Times. And then they reported the story, and it was stopped 1 day prior to the elections. They were caught, and now they tried to hide the information. And, of course, political leaders, you know, what are they encouraging? Chaos, fighting, race wars, you know, destruction, organizing groups. Was there a race war going on? No. Were there racist people in America? Of course there are. But it doesn't mean there was a race war going on. But they stirred the pot. And they love it. They love chaos. Because then they can issue forth their ideas and get them implemented. Department of Justice, oxymoron today. Because justice that's found in our Constitution has been replaced by what they feel is a right. The agenda they're promoting. I mean, think about it. President Trump was investigated for what, like 3 years? For this, you know, Russia investigation that they were involved in the election. And Joe Biden and his son committed crimes. You hardly get a report on the news about that. Interesting. The educational system. They've taught our children to hate America. When I was in school, we said the Pledge of Allegiance every day. We were patriots. Now we're teaching our kids not only to hate America, but to choose what gender you want to be. They stand up for Black Lives Matter, which is nothing more than a Marxist organization. You could, don't have to believe me. Just look at their website. They say it. And our children have become socialists, and they don't even know what it means. One article said, your children are being indoctrinated. The education system designed to teach them how to think critically has been weaponized by the radical left to push an anti-American agenda. The left uses a combination of propaganda and suppression to push kids into the ensnaring grip of socialism and anti-patriotism. First is the propaganda. Teachers will assign work instilling the idea that the pillars of Western civilization were evil and their memories deserved to be thrown in the trash. Here's an example. I was helping one of my elementary school students with a homework assignment about listing famous Britons throughout history. She already had some of the more obvious ones, Shakespeare, Princess Diana, Queen Elizabeth. Well, how about Winston Churchill, I recommended. Oh, no, not him, she replied. He was a racist and didn't think women should have rights. He wasn't a good guy. I was floored. It clearly wasn't something she came up with on her own. She was just regurgitating propaganda her teacher had taught her. Another way the left propagandizes is through the normalization of its views and positions as non-political. The Black Lives Matter organization is a prime example of this. Many of my colleagues wore Black Lives Matter pins and apparel to school in blatant violation of school rules forbidding political statements on clothing. When I asked for justification of the behavior, I told it wasn't political to support the group. It was a matter of human rights. The children would see these pins and clothes and connect radical leftist groups with basic human dignity. How dare you question Black Lives Matter? I was taught this is a matter of human rights. And it's not just that. It even goes further with our history. The Pilgrims, American Indians, all these things are attacked. And if you want more on that, just all my notes are going to be on the website for the study tonight. But, you know, one of the things that the Communist Party wanted to do was capture both political parties here in the United States. They got one for sure, the Democratic, and they're working on the Republican. And it's not looking good. Think about it. Power to the people. Do you see that in China? No. Do you see Americans fleeing to socialist Marxist countries? Absolutely not. People are fleeing to America for the freedom we have, and we're giving that freedom away. I want to share something. I'm going to finish up, I promise you. But I want you to see this video from Paul Harvey from 1965 as he's talking about socialism. And you see how far we've come. Just listen to this and then I'll wrap it up.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.